Our sermon text for today actually comes from two places. One is the reading immediately before our first reading for today from Acts chapter 1. And also, we're going to use the basis of our hymn of the day for our sermon. So let us listen then to Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Ascension Day often gets overlooked. It doesn't have quite the same emotional weight as Good Friday or the joy of Easter or even the quiet peace of Christmas. Yet the ascension of our Lord is a powerful turning point. It's not an ending, but a beginning. It is not Jesus leaving us behind, but Jesus preparing us to go forward as his witnesses. Timothy Dudley Smith had this in mind when he wrote the words to our hymn of the day, Christ high ascended, now in glory seated. Born in 1926, Dudley Smith, a bishop in the Church of England, was a prolific hymn writer with over 500 hymn texts to his name. He has 16 hymns in our LSB hymnal, including the very popular Holy Week hymn, No Tramp of Soldiers' Marching Feet. After retirement in 1991, Timothy Dudley Smith continued to write hymns until he passed away in 2024 at the ripe old age of 97. One of the prominent themes in his hymn writing was that of Christian witness. Based on Acts 1, verse 8, and the Great Commission from Matthew 28, Dudley Smith certainly captures this theme in our hymn. Christ high ascended, now in glory seated, starts from the throne of heaven, where Christ now rules, not idly, but actively, and he sends his church to bear witness to the ends of the earth. Starting with verse 1, Christ high ascended, now in glory seated, throned and exalted, victory completed, death's dread dominion finally defeated. We are his witnesses. The ascension shows that Christ is not merely risen, he is reigning. He has been exalted to the right hand of the Father, the position of power and authority. And yet his hands still bear the marks of his death, of his crucifixion. He reigns as the crucified one, the Lamb who was slain. And Acts chapter 1 tells us the disciples saw him lifted up, a cloud taking him from their sight. But this wasn't a disappearance. It was the entrance into a coronation celebration. He's not just raised from the dead. He is exalted. He is seated in glory, not as a passive king, but as one who has conquered. His enthronement is the fulfillment of Psalm 110. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Jesus has conquered sin, death, and the devil. Jesus ascends not to be absent, but to receive his crown of glory. Ephesians 4:10 tells us that Jesus ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Lutheran theologian Paul Kretzmann explains, the exalted Christ now fills the universe with his almighty omnipresence, which fact assures us also of his gracious presence in the church, to whose members he gives the gifts of his grace and his mercy. The hymn continues in verse 2. Christ from the Father every power possessing, who on his chosen lifted hands in blessing, sends forth his servants, still in faith confessing, we are his witnesses. The ascension was not just a departure, but a transition of task. The parallel ascension count in Luke chapter 24 tells us, then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. This is how Jesus leaves his disciples, in an act of blessing. And that blessing is still upon us. From the Father, Jesus possesses all power, just as it says in Matthew 28:18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And with that authority, he sends us. But he does not send us empty-handed. He sends us with his Spirit, his presence, his promises. As he told the disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. In the account from Luke 24, we read that Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures and promises them the gift of the Spirit when they will be clothed with power from on high. It is through this gift that we are not left alone. Even though he has ascended, he is still very truly present through his word, through his sacraments, and in the fellowship of his body, the church. He gives us what we need. He equips us for the work. He's not asking us to go into the world unarmed, but filled with his Spirit and his grace. And now for the great commission of Ascension Day in verse 3. Christ, who in dying won for us salvation, lives now the firstborn of the new creation, to win disciples out of every nation. We are his witnesses. This stanza connects Christ's death with his continuing mission. His death was not the end. It was the means of our salvation. By his stripes we are healed. And now he lives, not only as the risen Lord, but as the firstborn of a new creation, as St. Paul writes in Colossians 1:18. Jesus has inaugurated something new, a world being restored, a kingdom that will have no end. And until that kingdom is fully revealed, he sends us to make disciples, to baptize, to teach, to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name to all the nations. We are not merely observers in this. We are participants in the ongoing work of Jesus. The gospel must go out not by angels, but by us, his church. And to be witness is not simply just to speak. It is to point to the truth of Christ crucified, risen, ascended, and what that means for the world. We profess that it is only through him that we receive forgiveness, peace, and eternal life. And you don't have to be eloquent in speech. You just have to tell what you've seen and what you've heard, just as the apostles did. Christ, through the Holy Spirit, does the rest. Every witness that we give in word, in life, in love, is part of that global mission. The world may not know it or even accept it, but a new creation has begun in Christ. Continuing with verse 4, Christ in his splendor, all dominion gaining, Christ with his people evermore remaining, Christ to all ages gloriously reigning, we are his witnesses. This stanza affirms that Christ reigns in splendor, not just in heaven, but also among his people. He governs his church through his word and sacraments. He feeds us with his body and blood. He speaks to us through the scriptures. He reigns not only eternally, but right now in the midst of his church. Every time we gather, every time we serve, every time we forgive one another, we bear witness to the fact that Christ is with us, he is in us, and he is ruling right now. Acts 1:11 reads, as the disciples stared into heaven, the angel said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? Their gentle rebuke is for us also. Don't stand around waiting for a perfect moment to appear or for Christ to act dramatically again. He has already acted. Jesus came to earth as a baby in the manger. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for our sins, was buried in the tomb, rose again after 3 days, ascended into heaven, and he is coming again. He has done his part, fulfilling the Father's plan. Now it's time for us to do our part." Verse 5. As at his parting, joy shall banish grieving. Faith in his presence strengthen our believing. Filled with his Spirit, love and power receiving, we are his witnesses. Ascension Day is not a day of sadness. It is a day of joy. Jesus has not abandoned us. He has ascended to fill all things and prepare a place for us. And he has sent his Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with faith, with love, with boldness. We are not to wait passively. We are to wait and live actively, filled with his Spirit, loving as he loved and empowered to speak the truth of the gospel. In a world that's filled with hate, fear, confusion, despair, the church shines as a beacon of hope, a flashlight, a people who have seen the risen and ascended Lord and who go forth boldly in his name. You may have noticed that the reoccurring refrain of our hymn reflects one of the main themes of the ascension, a reminder in every stanza that we are his witnesses. That's not a burden that we bear. It is a joy that we share. It is the highest calling of every Christian. We are not spectators in the story of Jesus. We are participants. We are his body here on earth. We are his voice, his hands, his feet. So do not gaze idly up into heaven. The Lord Jesus will return in glory, just as he ascended. But until that day, we have a Lord who reigns and has given us a mission. We have a message to share with the world. Christ is ascended on high. Christ is seated at the right hand of glory. Christ is ruling, forgiving, blessing, calling, and yes, sending. And we, by his grace, are his witnesses. Amen.